Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
On Sports Time Radio, and for some reason I just closed out the studio, so let me get things back up and working. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. You can swing on over there and check that out. I learned yesterday that Mr. Fantasy doesn't read the blog, which was kind of sad, but that's okay. Lately, not a lot of people have been reading the blog, but hopefully that'll change. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like it while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. Don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I'm at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at? All right, well, Dan, we must be in trouble again. Let me see if I can bring him in. What did we do today that you want to – are you going to yell at us for something today, or what did I do? Did I not make a change to our lineup?
No. What did I miss on the blog?
Well, yesterday you called us and asked us about Le'Veon Bell, and I wrote about it. I was like, well, obviously he's not reading the blog.
Yeah, I read so much stuff on him, I don't need to read anything else right now. But I'll go back
kinda
and
answered
check
my
it
question
out. Yeah, no, I was trying to catch you guys before you went on air just to give you my picks for tonight.
Yeah.
But yeah, you guys didn't hook up early, so.
Yeah, that's because I was putting in Stu's picks for the week, so I was a little pumped up. But you can give us your pick now. I'm sure Dan and I would love to hear your preview of the game tonight.
Yeah, I'm going with Atlanta tonight.
Okay.
I get the Super Bowl champion starting 0-1.
Because you hate Nick Foles? Is that bitter hate
no,
that you have for him?
I love Nick Foles. Actually, I'm starting him in my Thursday only FanDuel lineup tonight. I just don't think they win.
Wow. So, do you have your Thursday only FanDuel lineup with you so you can tell us about it?
I could probably tell you who I put in. It's for Thursday only. You pick five guys. One is your MVP. You have to go with, so maybe it's six, but it's it's five guys because I got Nick Foles is in my MVP slot. Then I've got I'm terrible with names. Who's the second? Corey Clement, is that their second year running back for Philly?
Yes.
Yeah, so I got Corey Clement starting with their tight end in Philadelphia. My guy, Zach Ertz. So it's Clement, Foles, Zach Ertz, and then I've got Julio Jones. And who's the running back you like from Atlanta? Trevor Coleman, or Coleman, is it?
Sure. Tevin Coleman, yeah.
Tevin, I've got him. That's my five players tonight.
Okay. And what is this? What is this on the league? Because that's not the normal setup, right? What kind of league is this? Because that's not the normal setup, right? Or is, no?
Yeah, it's just a Thursday only, and it was a double up league where you double up your money, but that was that's what it was like.
Oh.
So I think when you're just picking one game, they simplified it.
Yeah. This is part of your commitment to FanDuel this year?
Well, this is just kind of fun. I want to be investing in the game tonight. No, my commitment to FanDuel starts on Sunday, so.
Okay. So, and what was that? You're gonna get as possible.
I'm sorry, say that again.
You're going to get in as many leagues as possible, or did you cap it at a number?
I capped it. I want to see how things go. I've got $30 on this weekend, and I just want to see which leagues I do best in and just kind of figure things out and see how I do. So I've got
$30 more.
Different types of leagues.
$30 is more than Dan has spent the entire time he's coached me.
I don't believe that. I've seen how much Dan gambles, and I don't believe it.
Yeah.
I've only put in $25.
See, his wife won't let him spend it. $25.
Yeah, my wife gave me her blessing, so I'm good.
If I don't start winning, I'm going to have to put more money in FanDuel.
So, well, how did everybody else pick for tonight?
Everybody else has Philadelphia, just so you know.
Okay, cool. So I get to jump out to a lead tonight.
Yes, you could be. You'll either be in first place or last place.
Hey, I'd rather have it no other way. There's no in between.
So that'll work perfectly.
And then on Sundays, are we going to do the picks on the air then? Is that what the idea is? And then do the FanDuel lineups?
We'll do it like we always do. We'll go through our picks, and then we'll set up the FanDuel stuff. So.
All right, cool. So then I don't have to email
Football normally doesn't take as long as baseball to set the FanDuel lineups up. So we can just look at it.
Very
so
cool.
I'll just be interested to see how your system works. So
yeah, we'll see. It's going to be evolving. It's going to take some time, I think. But I've read anything I can find on, from people who have put together winning lineups, won the millionaire makers, and everything I can get, and what their strategies were, and kind of combine it into mine. And then I found that there's some games this weekend. I'm reading all the experts, and I've got three games that I'm really high on. That aren't obvious. And I was reading one guy, and he had two of them, and I was shocked that he was in on one of the games or one of the quarterbacks I was in on. But the third one I can't find anywhere, so I'm hoping it stays that way.
That'd be huge. Did you check our Money League lineup to make sure we didn't have anybody we needed to put in or anything?
Yeah, we're out of it, so.
No, for football.
Oh, for football. No, I didn't check it, but I'll check it when I get home.
Okay. So I didn't make sure we didn't have anybody playing. I didn't need to put in a big move.
Well, I'm pretty sure we don't have anybody tonight.
And I don't remember us having an Eagle or a Philly, but, with all the drafts and all the other kind of stuff that goes on, I wasn't quite sure who was what and all that other fun stuff. Dan, do you have anybody playing tonight in our Yahoo leagues or Mr. Fantasy? Do you have anybody playing that tonight?
Nope. Nobody.
Huh. Yeah, I don't think I do.
Yeah, I don't believe I I think I ended up with Calvin Ridley. I believe he's just an extra guy for me. And I did see Mr. Fantasy saying what a terrible play Jamal Williams is supposed to be for this week. So you're definitely going to have to look into that one.
Yeah, I'm not starting Jamal Williams in the Yahoo League I have him in.
No. Yeah, I saw he's just supposed to be in just a terrible play that Bears defense this weekend.
Yeah, I'm sure we've got somebody better that we should be starting.
So, well, I didn't mean just us. I just meant as a whole. If you have him, he's just one of the guys. Supposed to be
just
ridiculous.
But the only thing is, if you look at the preseason, the Bears' first defense hasn't looked good at all, and I know the addition of Mac will change things a little bit, but again, Mac hasn't played in this system yet. You know, half their linebacking core hasn't played in this system yet. It'll be their first game, so you just wonder how much of a learning curve there needs to be for them. So I wouldn't be surprised if they went out and the defense didn't look dominant. And on Monday, everybody's talking about how terrible the defense was, and that when it's just the first game, and you know, preseason sucks now. They don't do anything.
Yeah, I think Dan talked about that yesterday, how the starters didn't get to play full game, a couple, in preseason. You know, I mean, did they even play a half to where they went into the half?
No, they didn't play more than a quarter.
Jeez.
So you just wonder if that could be an issue for them.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you know, that seems to be kind of the way it goes now, right? I mean, they don't really play these guys, and, you know, it almost seems like the first 2 weeks of the regular season end up being season because nobody's played.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's what's going to happen with the Bears defense. As good as I think they're going to be, you know, down the stretch in the season and stuff, I could see them taking two games or something to really get on the same page and really get rolling. And you know, one of the most difficult quarterbacks to play against, they've got the first week, and he can shred any defense and one that's going to take a while to get going. He could put up some big numbers tomorrow or Sunday.
Yeah, that's not the ideal start. Too bad they didn't have an easier matchup to start. But you know, you gotta eventually. They gotta play them twice, one way or the other. So you might as well get it out of the way the first week when, you know, maybe they're not firing on all cylinders either. You can, you know, sneak a win. So, you know, and you'll have to tune in Sunday, you know, between 10 a.m. and noon to find out how we all pick that game. But, you know, tonight we'll take a football game. Get out on his own with Atlanta, even though he doesn't expect Nick Foles to have a good game. So that's an interesting conundrum that you're picking him to lose, but you're also picking him to have a good fantasy game.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that he's not going to have a good game. You can lose and have a good game.
Oh,
there's other people involved, so.
No, I mean, that's the plus of football, is like, you know, a pitcher in baseball where, you know, you get those extra points for the win. You know, I mean, if you're the losing quarterback, it doesn't matter.
It comes down to how you want to put your money, and there's not a receiver in Philly that makes sense with the injuries they have to go big on, and Matt Ryan's a lot more money than Nick Foles is. So, and I think Julio Jones is going to have a huge game tonight, so I'd rather have Julio Jones, but I can't afford him with Matt Ryan and put together a good lineup. So it's Foles, Jones, and then you kind of fill in from there.
You're not buying Nelson Aguilar as Philly's going down?
Yeah, I don't know. He may be, but and I could have gotten him, but I think Ertz is a bigger part of the offense than Aguilar is, and I didn't want to go more than three Eagles. So
I don't know.
And you didn't have to start a quarterback. I could have started another receiver and not had a quarterback, but I think I'd rather have a quarterback.
Yeah, well, they're the higher scoring guys, right? I mean, even if I remember correctly, I know it's been a little while since we've done lineups, but I mean, even a bad quarterback day just really outscores everybody else, don't they? They're kind of
pictures. Yeah, I think so. When you get down, when you're looking at five players from the game, I think the quarterback's going to always be in the top scoring. I think tonight you'll have two. I think Matt Ryan will be there too, but I don't think he's going to outscore Nick Foles by enough to warrant the extra money.
Now, would it make sense? Say, you know, a guy like Dan, who's a casual fan to a player, is putting his lineup together. Would it make sense for him, you think, to try to get both quarterbacks in the lineup, or is that just too much money to put the extra money?
Bill, I think that's actually a fantastic idea. I have never done a league like this before, so this is new territory for me, but I hadn't even thought of that. That could actually, that could work. And I could, and I'm thinking about it, I could have put, I could have gotten both of them in.
Yeah, oddly, I've actually done this a couple times, but it was three goals they caught me for the WNBA, so it's really not comparable to. I don't know diddly squat about the WNBA, and it was just kind of such a familiar name I know, or football, at least pretend to know a little bit. But yeah, I was, I mean, I didn't look, I, like, I didn't get in this. I'm not in this league, so I'm curious. I mean, are the price tags different since it's five guys, or is it the same as a Sunday? Did you notice?
Yeah, the price tags seem to be way different. I could be wrong, but it looked like they were different than what I was normally dealing with.
All right, and yeah, because I'm assuming, you know, like the quarterbacks are probably the top two high-priced guys. I mean, if you pump them in, would you have to go with, you know, like you use Kevin Coleman, who's technically the Atlanta's backup running back, and Corey Clement is technically the Philly, which is the Eagles backup running back in the wrong sport there. Would you have to fill in with those backup type guys, if you went Foles and Ryan, would you have enough money to get other, you know, maybe starters would be the word I'm looking for, even though I'm not sure if that's the correct one, or, you know, would you be looking at Austin Hooper as one of your guys, you know, in your lineup?
Yeah, I think you'd probably, I think you could, if I went, because here's the way the pricing worked. Zach Ertz was 12.5. If I remember right, that's what his cost was, $12,500. And then Nick Foles was less than that. And then Matt Ryan was probably 13 or 13.5 is probably where he was. And then Julio was, I think Julio was the most expensive person on the board, and he was 14 or something.
Wow, so yeah, those are way jacked up. I mean,
Julio is probably just a little over.
I think it's still the 60 grand, but you're only spending on five players.
Huh.
So then they have, I'm sure that's why it's inflated.
I didn't see that. I'll have to. I wonder if they're going to do this every Thursday night. Maybe something I'll have to look in at, you know, see if we can get on. And then, you know, you'll have to come back every Thursday and help Dan set his lineup for the Thursday night game.
I'll let you know, this is my first shot. I did one of those double ups, so half the league wins. I figure I got to be able to get in the top half, right?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I've had. I've done a couple of those and haven't had a couple of them. So hopefully you will.
So, all right. Well, I'll jump off next Thursday. I'm going to jump off. I just wanted to give you my picks, and to bogart your show.
Oh, that's cool. Well, Dan, that's fine.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right.
Adios.
Say goodbye to Mr. Fan. So, you know. Now I'm gonna have to go and look at that league and see if it's something I want to do.
Well,
so, did you do anything like that?
No, I was trying to pull it up. My internet was acting funny.
But yeah, you know, I obviously it is the opening night of the NFL season, so we're gonna get all the fanfare. You know, the Eagles host the Falcons, so you'll have the, you know, so you know that's the thing. It's always the Super Bowl champs, which makes sense. You know, you run them out there and let them do their celebration and all that stuff. So that, you know, that's cool, but. What was so weird, Dan, is like I had remembered that, you know, Fox was taking over Thursday night coverage with my favorite two announcers. So I went over there to check the channel guide to see what time the game started, and it wasn't on there. So I was like, okay, well, I'll go to the NFL Network and see what time they had it starting. And, well, they're not carrying the game either. So I'm like, okay, well, where the hell is this game? So I go to the Mickey Mouse Network, and they don't have it. I go to CBS, and they don't have it. Finally, I stumble into NBC, and they're carrying the game today. So I don't know, with all the damn different networks, it took me that long to figure out who was carrying what and where the game was going to be. But I did find it. It's apparently an NBC game, so we're going to get to listen to Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels. So there you go. If I remember that it's on and I turn it on. So, you know, as long as I don't get caught up doing something else. But I'm sure I will check in on it. Are you going to be giving leadership?
No, I'm boycotting them along with while I wear my Nike shoes, right?
Oh, okay. You're one of those guys?
No, I'll tune in. No. But I did pull up one of these Thursday night, you know, five guy things. And
yeah.
I'm looking at the 50-50. I think I'll do it next week. I don't want to rush and waste my dollar.
No, I
don't. But here's kind of the cool thing, and I don't know if this is something brand new, but they have this thing called Pick with Guru, and it pulls up three players, and then you add one, like I'm going to do with Nick Foles, and then it gives you options to pick your other players. So it kind of, you know, gives you some assistance in who you should be picking.
Oh, well, that's cool. That's probably, you know, helpful, you know, for, you know, if you're just starting off or maybe you're not the biggest NFL fan, you know, that could be really helpful with, you know, giving you some guidance there. I'll have to see. Yeah, because I didn't, you know, like I did a baseball lineup because I'm still playing baseball because there's only one game and I didn't realize they were going to do a, you know, a single game NFL FanDuel thing, but I guess, you know, you can get enough, as popular it is, you can get enough people in it and, you know, it makes money for the site and everything. So why not do it? But yeah, I really wasn't focused on it. I wasn't thinking that was even really an option. So that's kind of cool.
Neither was I, because I did my pick'em and my survival yesterday or this morning.
Yeah.
In FanDuel and Yahoo.
So yeah, I did FanDuel this morning. I think I did Yahoo yesterday. So, and I still have to do my college football one on the Mickey Mouse one, but that's just, you know, I kind of think of that, so I just kind of do it for fun. So, you know, I don't know enough about college football to actually be competitive, but I, you know, it's you know, picking. So I like to, you know, I like to do it, even though it's, you know, you don't have to be good. It's just like, yeah, okay, what the hell? I'll give it a shot. So,
yeah.
You know, that's how it
goes. Apparently, my father-in-law is into college football now, even though he doesn't watch it. Well, you know, he's never going to wear his Nike gym shoes again. And
yeah.
He doesn't watch the NFL.
So, yeah, I got kind of a little bit of a chuckle out of the fact that there were people trying to compare Tim Tebow kneeling for, you know, when he was kneeling, and it was odd how they forgot to mention that he didn't do it during the national anthem. So it was kind of like, guys, did you not think somebody was going to fact check this and kind of see what went on there? So I was like, oh, boy, here we go. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. You know, I've seen Jesse Ventura, you know, he was a Navy SEAL. He said that's what he fought for guys to be able to protest like that. I just, you know, I'll say it again, I just find it highly coincidental in the timing when he chose to kneel.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I'm going to stick by my, you know, my guns. I don't agree with the kneeling, and I never will, but I fully support the right to do it. You know, I mean, that allegedly makes America great is, you know, you're allowed to do these kind of things. So, you know, I mean, I wouldn't do it. You know, I think I mentioned before, actually, I think you were gone on one of the shows I mentioned it. You know, both my, you know, my father fought in World War II. My grandfather fought in World War I. Little known fact, my father was actually on a battleship that left harbor 2 days before they dropped the bombs on Japan. So he was on his way to get into the war, and luckily didn't have to fight. You know, they were, you know, they took care of all that stuff, and it was all wrapped up before they got over there. But, yeah, so, you know, I mean, they supported their country. Sadly, I was too fat to support our country, so I was not allowed into the military, but that was just me. So, yeah, I mean, but, you know, if you, you know, I again, like I said, I fully support your right to protest. I just, you know, I don't have to agree with you. So, you know, I did find something, and I'm done with this. I'm so tired of talking about it. It just needs to kind of run away. But I'm wondering if you came across this baseball story, Dan, and I really wish we had a little more insight to it. You know, the other day, the Mariners had a clubhouse altercation where they actually chased the media out of the locker room. They forced the media out of the locker room. They closed the door and they locked the door. And we don't know that there was Gordon and Gene Segura who got into a scuffle, but it hasn't been confirmed. Now, I don't know if you saw this one, but apparently the Tigers announcers got into a fight with each other. And the one ended up, well, by the time they broke up the fight, the one had the other one in the chokehold. I know it's Rod Allen is the former player who does their games, and I think I'm gonna probably butcher the guy's name. It's Mario Impemble. IMPEMBA. So, good luck. And oh, here you go. It says they had a disagreement over a chair in the broadcast booth that led to this fight. But yeah, I'm guessing they're. I don't know if Tigers are playing, but I'm guessing they'll be working together now, or how this goes. But these guys have been partners for 16 years.
Yeah, what I read, though, was kind of going back to D. Gordon and Gene Segura. That actually, it was D. Gordon who asked the media to leave. And sadly, Big Jack, they didn't lock the door. Because when the fight broke out, that's how the media was included into the fight, with the doors when flying open. But they said with the amount of chaos and fighting going on, that they really couldn't see that it was, you know, those two. They did mention the fact that it kind of started over the previous night where D. Gordon botched something in the outfield, and then oddly, the day of the fight, he botched another play. So it could be frustration, you know, between the players and their positions and, you know, where they're playing right now. You know, losing, you know, getting out of the playoffs and losing ground against the A's, which, you know, I think we all thought that the Mariners would kind of give a stronger hold this season, but I do think I know he's there, but I still feel like the loss of Felix Hernandez is kind of, you know, taking the steam out of this team a little bit, not having that number one guy who's really, you know, there. But going back to the announcers, supposedly what I read over the last couple of years, there's been a lot of animosity between these two. And the incident, which he said, I guess it just was the end of it, and they were both flown back to Detroit separately.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
it did. It was I thought it was after last night's game. It was actually Tuesday night. So yesterday,
yeah.
Matt Shepard and Kate Gibson called the game. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's kind of interesting, you know, again, that the way the team's been playing, you know, but that shouldn't affect the announcers. They've got a job to do. But the only thing I could think of, well, not the only thing I could think of, but the thing that popped to my mind most of all was when I seen the two announcers, because I don't really know who the announcers are, was the smaller guy, who I'm assuming is Mario.
Yeah.
I went to the stereotypical, you know, what do we call it, the Napoleon complex. And I was wondering if maybe he instigated a little bit more and thought that he was going to beat up the bigger guy.
Yeah, and, you know, humorously, on the Rod Allen resume tape is a fight back from where he was in Japan, where he got hit by a pitch, and I'm sure you've probably seen this on Follies or maybe some other kind of, you know, fight tape, where he actually chases the pitcher literally around the entire field. Because, you know, Ron Allen is a pretty good-sized guy. So, you know, you can imagine smaller Japanese pitcher, large African-American man running after you. You know, and this pitcher just took off. You can find that. I'm sure that video is on YouTube or, you know, wherever. But, you know, I'm sure you can hunt that down. So, yeah, another odd fight for Rod Allen on his resume. And then, you know, I also read there were people, obviously, you know, they commented anonymously, who have mentioned that these two haven't gotten along now for years. And this was just kind of, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back, as they would say. You know, of all things, a chair. You know, it reminds me of that one Mickey Mouse commercial with LeBron where he walks up to his cubicle and his chair's gone, and he taps Scott Van Pelt, who's sitting on a chair that says King James, and he says, "Have you seen my chair?" And I was like, no, sorry, I hope you find it. You know, that's all I kept thinking when I, you know, it's over a chair. So...
Yeah, I didn't read that part. I did read that the animosity was kind of there for a while now, but to know that it was over a chair, man, these guys must have been really pushing each other's buttons.
Must have been one hell of a chair. I mean, was it a recliner or, you know, I mean, how? You know, just one of those. Yeah, but yeah, I saw that and I thought, man, that's got to be, you know, you would think. I know years back, I believe Harry Carey and Jimmy Pearsall had an altercation in the booth. You know, but that was, you know, years back. And I'm sure, you know, at that time, Harry was probably drunk because, you know, it was either the late 70s or early 80s or something. But, yeah, other than that, I can't think of any. I mean, can you think of another announcer getting into a physical altercation with his partner? Not counting, like, Chuck and Shaq on the NBA show.
No. I don't know. I was trying to go through my brain. I couldn't think of any.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think through all the years how nobody ever punched Hawk Harrelson in the face, but apparently it's never happened. You know, he was the first guy who came to mind when I thought, well, if an announcer's going to get hit, it's going to be Hawk. But, yeah, I don't remember that ever happening. I can't think of, you know, I know guys who have, you know, downright hated each other. I mean, like, I know Milo Hamilton just hated Harry Carey's guts when they worked in Chicago. But I think that was part of the reason was, you know, they went with Carey over him for the TV job because he was the big personal Harry Carey, and Milo Hamilton was a strictly, melancholy, I'm going to call it the way it is, announcer on the field straight down the line, where Carey was a little more fun and, you know, face of viewers liked him more. But, Yeah, you know, I can't think of a guy. Nobody would ever want to punch me in the belly, so that would be okay. No. But, yeah, you know, even football announcers, I mean, I'd love to see Joe Buck. You know, that would be awesome. So.
Well, from what I heard, they wouldn't go at it that way.
Oh, yeah, you know. I don't know that. You know, I'm sure they're calling the Cowboy game on Sunday, so I'll probably get to listen to that. So...
Yeah.
You know. You know, that's just how those things go.
Now, but you know, being a fan of the Mariners,
yeah.
You know, when you read all that, what did that say to you?
You know, it to me, it's just deep frustration. You look at their, you know, the way their season has went, and it's kind of understandable. I mean, you're looking at a team that won, how, you know, I think it was 27 of 28 run games. And, you know, as great as that is, you knew it wasn't going to continue. And now that it hasn't continued, that frustration kind of builds up. And, you know, it just eventually boils over. And, you know, there's nothing... You know, nothing you can do about it. And, you know, from all reports, it didn't seem like it was a knockdown, dragout type of fight. So, you know, but I can kind of understand that. I know they're, what did I hear? I heard somebody, I think somebody said they were 14 and 21 over their last 35 games or something. You know, the season has really turned around on them. You know, and everybody likes to bring up the fact that they longest playoff drought of any future sports team at 17 years. And, you know, I mean, you'd figure eventually as a player you'd get tired of hearing that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's you know, it doesn't really account for these guys, though. You know, I mean...
No, but you know how they like to bring it up, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, that was...
Where...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was like saying the Cubs had won it, was it 108 years or whatever? I mean, none of these guys were even alive. Not even Joe Madden's 108. You know,
yeah.
I mean... But, you know, it's just those are... you know, these are the things we like, you know, sports fans like to talk about and sports writers like to bring up, you know, so it I can see it wears on you. And you're kind of the one who, you know, wears the collar, you know, hey, well, you've got to carry this mantle, even though I was part of this team, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you know, 12 years ago. You know, I mean, the only one on the team, you mentioned Felix Hernandez, he's really the only one with a link to any Mariners past left. You know,
yeah.
All those other guys are gone. And, I mean, he wasn't on that playoff team. He's just been around
the longest.
I mean, he's the senior manager right now. So, sounded like a cool stuff marine title, didn't it, senior mariner? So, you know, and I mean, you know, and then you also add in the fact that, I mean, you know, not only have the Mariners struggled, but, I mean, you know, let's give some credit to the Oakland A's for just playing out of their mind. You know, I mean, they've been, you know, easily the best team in baseball, even though nobody wants to say that. They're the A's, and they don't have the superstar-type players that television is looking for. But, you know, I mean, they deserve as much credit for what Seattle's going through as Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
So,
because they have Jonathan
Yeah, you know what I mean? He'll be a free agent, so anybody can go get him if you want at the end of the year. You know, and I mean, it's going to suck that it looks like the Mariners are going to miss out on the playoffs again. But, you know, it's been a good year and a positive year. And, you know, they had some tough decisions. I mean, what do you do with Felix, who's really struggling, you know, in the starting rotation? I mean, can you?
Well, and it's been almost, it's been like the last, you know, with the injuries and kind of losing the steam that he's had, it's almost been kind of a progression over the last three seasons.
Yeah.
This, you know,
so,
this year and the last two.
You know, and he, you know, he is signed through next year. You know, he's actually due, here you go, $27.858 million this year. You know, and I mean, he, you know,
good,
he, believe it or not, he's 32. He'll be 33 next April. I didn't realize he was that young. So, you know, maybe there's a chance he, well, he can right the ship and, you know, turn things around. But, like, yeah, you mentioned last year he only made 16 starts, 6-5 with a 4.30 ERA. This year, you know, he's making his starts. He's made 26 starts. He's actually appeared in 27 games, one as a reliever. But he's 8-13, and that ERA is 5.5. So, yeah, it's, you know, and but, you know, at 32, it's not like he's old.
No.
So, I mean, he can. I think he can bounce back. Hopefully he bounces back. You know, and I mean, you know, I mean, it looks like they have a budding ace in, you know, James Paxton. You know, but like a lot of teams, you know, it's a struggle. I mean, it looked like Marco Gonzalez was going to turn into something, but he can't stay healthy. Mike Leake hasn't done anything. I mean, you know, Wade LeBlanc has been surprisingly decent, but, you know, he's 33 and he's not a guy you really count on being in your rotation. So, you know, pitching, like, you could kind of point to, you know, all the other teams. And then, you know, Nelson Cruz is 37, you know, and he's actually going to be a free agent. You got to make some decisions there. I mean, he's been really good with the Mariners, but, you know, how much longer can he keep it up, and what's he going to want, you know, contract-wise? So, you know, he may be one of those guys that come, you know, spring training, there's no takers for his services. So.
Yeah, and with the Mariners, for this payroll season, they are ranked number 10 as far as the payroll goes, which, I mean, that doesn't even put them anywhere near the luxury threshold, but I forgot what the number is for 2018, but I know they're under it, so that's what, you know, that's what matters. Did you say that what's his name is up this year?
Yeah, Nelson Cruz, yeah.
Nelson Cruz. But, you know, and I, oddly, they jumped to number 3 next year with a total payroll of $139 million.
Oof.
So, I, you know, again, I wish I wrote down those numbers. Oh, yeah, here we go. This year it's $197 million, and then next year, 2019, it's $206. So I don't know, you know, what it's like with the Mariners up there, but, you know, they definitely have room to spend, even with paying Felix $27 million next year. You've got to wonder, and this is definitely something we'll be looking at next summer, June, July. You know, depending on where the Mariners are, if Felix is able to bounce back and they're stuck in this three hole again, I mean, I don't think you take this team and tear it down, but I think if you're put in that situation and he bounces back and has a sub 4 ERA, you might be able to get a little something in the market, you know, maybe from the Yankees or, you know, a team like that, a contending team next year. So I don't think he's going anywhere in the off season.
No, no, definitely not. You know, so.
You know, with the Mariners.
Yeah, you know,
and,
yeah, you know, just looking at their free agent list, of Cruz is the only major guy who's going to hit the market. You know, I mean, Iwakuma hit the market again, but he's 38 and he hasn't done, I don't even know if he's pitched this year. So, you know, you got to figure he's done. And, yeah, you know, your guy came up, they've been in the free agent market, but I don't think they'll be bringing him back. So,
who? T. Gordon?
Your guy Cameron Morgan. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, with Iwakuma going, I mean, that's another spot in the roster or the rotation that you definitely want to fill. So, but, you know, I was going to say that obviously we still got some time, but I think the Mariners definitely need to be some big-time buyers in the offseason if they want to turn that, you know, three spot into first or second.
Yeah, well, you know, that obviously, you know, they're going to have to make the decision, you know. You know, you'll have Robin Cano hopefully for the entire season. So, you know, does he go back to center field?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, do you send him back? If you're running that team, are you putting D. Gordon back in the center field?
I'd have to look at the numbers and see some highlights with D. Gordon. I'd like to see how he played out there.
You know, I mean, that would, you know, that's, you know, one of the decisions they'll, you know, they'll have to make, you know, down the road here, of course. You know, and, you know, and I mean, obviously, you know, they played pretty well without Cano, but, you know, not having him around, I'm sure, hurt a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, actually, I have to check their stats to see if Iwakuma even pitched this year, because I don't remember him. If he did, it was really early in the season, because I don't remember him.
What, he pitched like five games?
It. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for now, to see if he's on the list here. And I don't even see him listed yet. He hasn't pitched. Oddly, Justin Grimm is with them now. He just pitched the other day. So.
Good for him.
Yeah. He didn't pitch.
Now I know everyone's going to make a case, but they definitely have more than enough money. Would they be runners up for Bryce Harper?
Yeah, you know, the difficult part is, you know, what everybody's always said is, you know, you can't get free agents to go to Seattle. I mean, obviously Nelson Cruz did and Robin Cano did.
Yeah.
But, I'm sure, you know, I mean, especially with Cruz, you know, you got Cruz's salary coming off the books as well. I'm sure they'll kick the tires and see – you know, if it's a possibility. I mean, I don't think that would be a landing spot for him. But, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if their name comes up as a team that wants to meet with him. So, you know, because, yeah, you know, outfield seems to be kind of – you know, where they could go, where their bigger need could go. And you wonder if a guy like, you know, Michael Brantley, who's quietly having a really good year, or, you know, and, you know, Adam Jones, or, you know, even Andrew McCutchen, you know, if guys like that might figure into their plans as people to look at.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, then pitching wise, I'm trying to see, I mean, obviously, you know, the big fish would be the fact is if Kershaw opts out, you know, which everybody's waiting for. But also, you know, your guy Dallas Keuchel hits the market. Not too many people have mentioned that. You know, he's going to be one of the bigger names that are actually just a free agent. There's no options. There's no buyout for him. You know, Charlie Morton goes out there too, but he's 35. Where Keuchel is just 31, I mean, he's going to get, what, a 6 or 7 year deal from somebody?
It's possible, and you know, without him on their payroll, you know, Houston is actually for the 2019 season, they're sitting pretty. So I think it's in all likelihood that they're definitely in a position to re-sign him, seeing as their 25 man is only at $82 million for next year. So they're,
yeah, and you know, obviously, you know, huge point for them to want to bring him back. So
yeah,
like, you know, one of the interesting questions is, you know, Cole Hamels has a $20 million club option. He's been really good with the Cubs. Do they pick that up or do they buy him out for $6 million?
Well, from what I read and what my understanding is that the Cubs are not responsible for the option, the buyout.
If they decide the option, right, if they're going to pick him up or not.
Yeah, if they don't pick up the option, then Texas has to pay the buyout.
Oh, okay.
So then they would actually be in a better position to not pick up the option. You know, let Texas spend the $6 million, 5 or 6, whatever. And I'll have to look into it again, but I believe that's the situation. And then with the Cubs, I mean, the way Cole Hamels has pitched for them, let's just take that whole scenario out of it. If I were the Cubs, I would pick up that option. You know, it's 1 year,
yeah, and you know,
$20 million. I don't,
yeah,
you know, it's like $25 to
yeah,
us,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
whatever.
That's nothing. You know, Patrick
yeah.
Corbin, I also noticed, is going to hit the market. He's just 29. And another guy who's making himself a lot of money right now is J.A. Hopp. While he is 36, he's been pitching lights out for the Yankees. You damn well know if the Yankees don't throw a load of money at him, somebody else is going to come knocking with a big deal. So, you know, there are some interesting pitching names out there. You know, it just depends, you know, who's going to go and what, you know, obviously everybody's going to wait to see what Kershaw does because, you know, if he's number, you know, if he opts out, he's number one on everybody's list. So.
Yeah. Now, you know, one thing we didn't get to talk about, which I don't know if it didn't work or whatever. How excited or happy were you to see McCutchen kind of go out and go and play for the Pinstripes?
Yeah, you know, it's exciting, but I got to tell you, I can't adjust to him not having facial hair. It's really causing me problems. You know, it's just so weird. You know, and I'm kind of like, okay, yeah, I think that's Andrew McCutchen. Maybe it is.
Yeah,
but,
well.
Yeah, you know, it'll be nice to see him get into the playoffs.
Yeah, well, here's the other thing. I mean, I did not realize how ridiculously, obnoxiously annoying that Yankee fans can be. You know, I'm serious. I'm, you know, if you're a Yankee fan and you're this, I don't even know what the word is, this much of a jerk. You know, the day the deal happened or the night the deal happened, you know, of course they superimposed the Yankee logo over, you know, the Giants or, I don't know what,
yeah,
you know, where they got this picture from. MLB Network, you know, they probably still superimposed it over the Pirates because they probably never updated their crap like Yahoo does sometimes or doesn't do.
Or FanDuel.
Yeah, or FanDuel. This guy tweeted a picture of Andrew McCutchen telling him he needs to send this thug back to San Francisco. Number one, you jackass. He's been a lifelong Pirate up until this year, so you know, why don't you do a little bit more work on it? But I'm like, the guy hasn't even gotten on the plane and left, you know, wherever they were. I don't even know if they were in San Francisco to go to New York. So I don't know. I mean, and I'm sure there's Cub fans like, well, yeah, I know there's Cub fans like that because, you know, they run the radio stations and, you know, all the fun was going to be sucked out of the Cubs locker room because what's his name was coming over the closer, Aroldis Chapman. You know, but I find it funny, and since I got on that one, that since that year, Joe Maddon hasn't done any stupid little stunts anymore with the road trip costumes and, you know, petting zoos and magicians and all that crap. So I find that funny. But the other one I wanted to know if you were happy for a guy was Brandon Phillips. You know, he did a walk-off the other night, helped Boston win. You know, the comment was made by whichever show I was watching, well, hopefully he's still on the team by the time, you know, playoffs come around or whatever if he doesn't get released. But will he be able to make the playoff roster? That's what I wanted to ask you. And were you happy for him if he does get to make it and actually get to play for a team that's going to go to the playoffs?
You know, I don't think he qualifies for the playoff roster because he was added after September 1st.
Oh.
So, you know, it may be different with the way it's handled with a call-up compared to a trade. But from my understanding, I don't believe he's playoff eligible. But, yeah, you know, you give the guy a lot of credit. I mean, he's a 15-, 16-year veteran or something, and he stuck it out in the minors with the Red Sox, you know, waiting to get the call up. You know, a lot of guys would have been like, hey, you know, bring me up or release me, you know, and let me go on my way. But, I don't think he was there the entire year. I can double check there and see how many minor league games he actually ended up playing. But, you know, even so, I mean, he still took the time to do that. Here, he was in the minors for a total of 44 games this year, so it wasn't a lifetime.
Oh, wow.
But for a guy who's had a 17-year major league career, it probably seemed like it.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's pretty significant.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not the 100 games or anything like that, but – it's always cool to kind of see those guys, you know, get a chance. I mean, you know, he was in Cincinnati for years when they just weren't very good, you know. So, they made the postseason three times in all the years he was there, and he spent 11 years in Cincinnati. So, you know, and, you know, what'll be interesting to see if, you know, anybody gives him a shot next year. But here's a really odd Brandon Phillips stat. He was actually drafted, Dan, by the Montreal Expos.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I know there's one other player in the majors still who was drafted by the Expos. It was Brandon Phillips and one other guy. And I can't remember who the other guy is. So,
because they switched in what, 2004? Was it 2004 season or 2005?
Yeah, it was one of the two. I don't remember off the top of my head. So, here the other one is Russell Martin. So it's Russell Martin and Brandon Phillips are the two former Expos that are still. And former Expo draftees that are still in Major League Baseball. So, you know, Dan and I know we're running up against the clock, but I wanted to mention, you know, Burt Reynolds passed away today, and he's one of the guys who are in some better sports movies. If you want to check out some older sports movies, look for some stuff with Burt Reynolds in it. You know, The Longest Yard, he's in Semi-Tough. He, you know, some cool stuff if you're into, you know, into older sports movies. So check that out.
Sports Time Radio.